Good mornings. I'm Chris Oaks, and coming up today, State Representative Ty Matthews talks about Hancock County's $2.7 million share of Ohio's latest capital budget, including $1.2 million for the Findlay Defense Incubator, which has long been one of his priority projects. Also this morning, now more than ever, there is nothing inexpensive about owning a car, which is why, now more than ever, you can't afford to make a mistake when buying a vehicle. We have advice to help you get the most bang for your buck. And happening around town, St. Andrew's United Methodist Church wants to take you out to the ballgame. A free night of family fun with the Flag City Sluggers. We'll get details. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Monday, June 22nd, 2026. Back after an extended weekend, my wife and I, we took a little weekend getaway with some friends of ours, and we went over to the Mohican State Park, and enjoyed a weekend away at the lodge there. It was really nice to get away for a few days and, you know, just enjoy the enjoy a lazy weekend with friends. This I thought was kind of interesting. I saw this on the Newswire, and it was kind of timely given that this is what my wife and I just did. It was actually the couple that we went with, my wife's best friend from, you know, childhood, and her husband that went with us. And it says here, nearly one third of Americans experience friendship FOMO. They missing quality time with their closest friends. Do you have that? Have you ever felt like you just haven't? This is according to a survey of 2,000 Americans. One third say they miss the time they used to spend with their best friend. And that was kind of the idea behind our little getaway. My wife and her best friend, we need to get away. And so, you know, she brought her husband, my wife brought me, and we just, the four of us, we had a weekend. One in eight of Americans in the survey, one in eight say they have not seen their best friend in over a year. Major barriers include conflicting schedules and living too far apart. 44% gave those excuses. Each of the 44% said conflicting schedules. 44% say they live too far apart. 28% cite travel costs, but one third, or almost one third, have that friendship FOMO. So, you know, if you have not talked to or spoken with, visited with your best friend recently, reach out. Reconnect. I just thought that was kind of interesting. Speaking of getting away, and I thought, again, I saw this over the weekend as I was perusing the news, just keeping up on, you know, even though I was away for the weekend, do want to keep up on what's going on. And this popped up on my news feed. I don't know, maybe it was because I was away for the weekend and the algorithm knew that. If bed bugs had a summer vacation list, Michigan would apparently be at the top of it. The Wolverine State ranks as America's biggest bed bug hotspot, according to this compilation, a Canadian tourism website compiled Orkin and Terminix's latest top 50 bedbug rankings with hotel review data and social media mentions across the U.S. to come up with the rankings. And Michigan, travelers to Michigan face odds of roughly 1 in 57 accounting bedbugs. 1 in 57 travelers to Michigan will encounter bed bugs. But before we start pointing and chuckling at our neighbors to the north, you should know that Ohio is right on Michigan's heels at 1 in 59. 1 in 59 visitors to the Buckeye State will encounter bed bugs at the place that they stay, hotel or bed and breakfast, Airbnb, whatever it might happen to be. Maryland, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin round out the top five most likely spots where you will encounter bed bugs. Drilling down the list of specific cities, Warren, Michigan was number one. North Las Vegas, Nevada was actually number two on the list. So even though Nevada as an entire state was further on down, North Las Vegas at the top of the list with Warren, Michigan. Cleveland was sixth overall in terms of individual cities. Columbus, 17th. Cincinnati was 25th. So not doing too good on the bedbug front, apparently. Michigan, number one. Ohio, number two. So, most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. That's what we're here to do. Start your day off with the most interesting and buzzworthy stories. And this is very interesting. Do you have a snack stash that you hide from the rest of your family? A hidden stash of snacks that you hide from the rest of your family. Believe it or not, 3 in 5 of us, 60% of Americans, maintain a hidden stash of snacks somewhere in their home. More than half admit to consuming an entire bag of chips in one sitting. Because of, I get it. Even though it's just my wife and I at home now, a lot of times if I don't finish it off, it will be gone. There will be none left when I go to finish off a bag later. Americans, it says here, snack 4 times a day on average, with afternoon hours being most popular. Nearly 80% identify as snack people who prefer grazing over traditional meals. And I must say that I have done that. I've snacked so much during the middle part of the day that I will end up skipping a meal because I'm just not hungry anymore. Most secret stashes, and if I'm revealing your secret stash to your rest of your family, I apologize, but most secret stashes are hidden in bedrooms. Although some will keep their snack supply in their car, at their office, or in their gym locker. If you keep too many snacks in your gym locker, it kind of defeats the purpose of going to the gym, doesn't it? Or maybe that is your excuse for going to the gym, where you can snack in peace. About 39% of respondents admit to surviving entire days on snacks alone, and 18% admit lying about their snacking habits to avoid judgment of others. Avoid the judgment of others. Where is your secret snack stash? And a couple of other items here. Among the first things that you need to know this morning, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. Artificial intelligence is like the big thing. Now, everybody's talking about AI and, you know, artificial intelligence is going to take over. Well, maybe it is going to take over in Los Angeles this weekend. What's being called the world's first museum dedicated to AI-generated art opened. It opened the world's first museum dedicated to AI-generated art. It's called Dataland, and the creators say it is a living museum where the art changes in response to the visitors. The first interactive exhibit is called Machine Dreams Rainforest, which is said to be inspired by live data signals from 16 unique rainforest locations. And apparently the AI analyzes that data and the artwork evolves based on real-time data. I don't know. As visitors walk around, the art reacts. The museum is meant to feel responsive, adaptive, and alive. Oh, yeah, tickets cost $50. You want to walk around and see all of the responsive, adaptive, and alive art, AI art. Tickets start at $50. Critics, on the other hand, say AI has no place in art. They have questioned the kind of power resources that are needed to keep something like Dataland running. But it is open now in Los Angeles. Where else would it be but Los Angeles, if you are interested? AI taking over the world. More evidence. And I want to share this as a postscript on Father's Day. It's kind of on a serious note here. In a recent survey, 89% believe that fatherhood is built on small moments rather than major milestones. 21% of the respondents in this survey, and these were dads, 21% said holding their child for the first time was when they officially became a dad. That was the moment. 39% of the dads treasured watching their baby fall asleep on their chest. I remember when my kids were small enough that, yeah, I had those memories. We all do, right? 28% recalled their child's first genuine smile, the first time their child genuinely smiled at them. These are the little moments that fatherhood is built on. The survey found modern fathers feel more comfortable showing affection and discussing their feelings than previous generations, which is good because fathers said some of their most treasured memories of being a dad are the final lasts. The lasts, like the last time you pick them up from school. The last time they want to hold your hand. The last time you get to physically pick them up and carry them somewhere. Or the last family vacation that you have. And the problem with, and this is the serious part, the problem with many of those moments is that you never know when it will be the last. So you have to savor every single one. Sort of a very belated Happy Father's Day. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Monday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather. Showers today with a high around 70. Partly cloudy tonight, low in the 50s. A new measure approved by Ohio lawmakers is designed to help first responders address post-traumatic stress.
The legislation would create a commission to help cover treatment costs for firefighters, police officers, and other emergency personnel dealing with mental health injuries. Supporters say first responders regularly face traumatic situations that can leave lasting emotional impacts. The proposal would allow eligible first responders to seek reimbursement for treatment through a newly created post-traumatic stress injury commission.
WTOL 11's Amanda Fay reporting. Get more on the bill in this story on our website. The Findlay-Hancock County Community Foundation has reached an historic milestone, surpassing $100 million in total grants awarded to support Hancock County. Foundation President and CEO Dr. Brian Tree says since their founding, the foundation has partnered with donors and nonprofits to improve the quality of life in the county.
We work very closely with a diverse group of community partners looking at the systems level challenges and how together we can address those. Our bottom line is that we want to improve the quality of life for all in the community.
Brian says the foundation now stewards more than $200 million in assets, reflecting decades of donor generosity and strong financial management. Get more in this story on our website. Marathon Center for the Performing Arts has announced Vision 2035, a 10-year strategic plan that charts the organization's course over the next decade and strengthens its role as a cultural anchor for Findlay and Hancock County. MCPA says Vision 2035 is grounded in focused, intentional growth, thoughtful choices that strengthen the organization and expand what it offers the community. Learn more about MCPA's Vision 2035 and its five strategic objectives in this story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news online anytime at WFIN.com.
So as I mentioned last week, the governor put his signature to the multi-billion dollar state capital budget, and included in that capital budget some $2.7 million for projects in Hancock County, including $1.2 million for the Findlay Defense Incubator, which has been really a priority project of State Representative Ty Matthews since day one. And Representative Matthews with us on the line this morning. Thanks very much for taking the time. First of all, let's talk a little bit about the share. It's a pretty good chunk coming to Hancock County of $2.7 million. What are some of the highlights, some of those projects?
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Chris, and very proud of the money that we were able to bring back to the district. A couple of those, just to name off a few, some money going to the Children's Museum of Findlay, green space project, 450 North, Hancock Park District pond improvements through the current Hancock County Park District. And then a couple I'm pretty proud of, Chris, you know, me being from a small town in Arlington, I wanted to have a focus on getting some money into the smaller areas of our county. So Genera in Arlington, the Arlington Heart and Soul Project, where we're funding a project connecting the soccer fields there to the school and some safety fences next to the railroad tracks there. And Macomb, money going towards the amphitheater they want to build. And lastly, Mount Blanchard, looking at the wonderful pool that they have there, needing some improvements and upgrades. So money going to Mount Blanchard.
Certainly good news on all of those fronts, and those will all be dollars well spent. But I would imagine that you can, you know, really look at just about every project and say there is a need, and you do have to kind of pick and choose. How do you decide what to advocate for in the capital budget? Because you can't do it all.
Yeah, that's a great question, Chris. And, you know, this time around, I wanted to really focus on towns, areas that hadn't received state funds before. So looking again at those small towns that I believe make not just our county great, but, you know, our state great. Mm-hmm. So priority this time around went to towns like Arlington and Macomb and Mount Blanchard that had projects that met the state requirements and had not received potentially funds in the past, or at least in my opinion, meaningful funds that could really push that project to the next step. So this time around, really focused on smaller towns that had not received funds just yet. So
how long will it be before those projects, and I'm guessing that they're all kind of individually, will be individual, but in general, how long before those dollars end up in, you know, in those communities so that they can get those projects underway?
Yeah, my understanding, again, it's individually based, right?
Yeah.
But it could be 3 to 6 months, potentially longer.
Okay.
These communities, you know, with these dollars have to go through the public bidding process with, you know, how they're going to get that project done. So construction-wise, seeing this money come through, you may not see construction for maybe even a year out.
Okay, that's kind of what we were I wanted to get at, because, you know, for the benefit of those who are looking around and saying, well, these projects are great, but, you know, a month from now or a couple of months from now, if it doesn't happen, they're wondering, well, whatever happened to that funding? It's still out there. These things do tend to take time. The other big chunk of that $1.2 million worth of that $2.7 million that we referenced will go to the Findlay Defense Incubator. And as we mentioned, this, I know, has been one of your priority projects from day one. Even on the campaign trail, you were talking about creating this, and explain what this is all about and how this one little over or nearly $1.25 million will be spent to further that goal.
So I'm going to talk about this at a very briefly at a big picture level, and then I'll bring it right down to Findlay. Mm-hmm. When I took office, I started an initiative called the Ohio Defense Initiative. And at the end of the day, not talking about policy here, but I wanted to show that we can revitalize not just the defense industrial base here in the United States, but just manufacturing in general. In the 90s, we used to have over 50 main defense manufacturers. Through policies, through different administrations, they shrunk that down to 5. And that really hurt manufacturing across the board. So through this Ohio Defense Initiative, I was seeking to, hey, let's raise the flag here in Ohio to show we will be the leader, not just in revitalizing manufacturing and making that an American stamp of approval on all of the devices that we use in our military, but let's also be the home of this emerging technology that we need to fight our nation's battles. So another aspect of this is diversifying Findlay's economy and Hancock County's economy. I think typically people don't think of defense when they think of Hancock County. Mm-hmm. However, I believe that makes it a strong economy if we have different types of jobs and we're attracting different types of people to our area. And before talking about the specific project, talking about this policy piece across the state and even the globe, it is really turning heads. Palmer Luckey, the owner of Andrel Drones, a massive drone company choosing to build in Columbus, he words the kind of dire straits we are in right now as a nation when it comes to the industrial base. Now, if we were to, God forbid, go to war with China, this week, we would do very well the first 8 days. We would take it to them. However, after 8 days, most of our supply would be drained. And you're looking at the conflicts across the world currently. We need to revitalize and rebuild that industrial base. Mm-hmm. And this project here in Findlay is what we're hoping to do. Just to kind of go down some definitions, Chris, if that's okay, on the project and what it is. So what we're hoping to build in Findlay is a SCIF. And what SCIF stands for is Sensitive Compartmented Information Facility. What that simply put is it allows you to work on classified material. So if you think of the FBI in a situation room looking over where they're going to potentially hunt down their next criminal suspect or, terror suspect, they're able to work on that material in this room because it's secured. Mm-hmm. What we see in the defense industry is when you can provide space that is secured for manufacturing or even development of this technology, it's an economic driver. So that's what the funds are going for, is to develop the sensitive compartmented information facility. So essentially it's secured space
I was going to say, so the idea is if you build it, they will come. There's not necessarily a definitive manufacturer or definitive production that we can talk about that is coming, more like this gives us the opportunity to attract those production companies.
A little bit of both. So we are working, and I'll give you two stakeholders in this already, and then a couple more that we are actively talking with. First, the Navy. So Naval Surface Warfare Center Crane, which is, I kind of classify them as the electronic warfare capital of the world. They've signed a memorandum of intent that they will come here. They will be the ones sponsoring this gift. But not only that they're going to bring some of their scientists out here to help develop this technology. With that being said, that's a major anchor tenant that definitely does bring other companies and agencies to the table that want to be around an entity like that. So it's very, very possible, and it's looking like we will have the Navy at this facility here in Findlay, Ohio. And I would never have thought said Findlay may have some naval presence, right?
Yeah. Well, that was what I was going to say. What types of defense production, what types of companies or entities are we talking about here? So the U.S. Navy being one of them, potentially.
And the U.S. Navy is interested because there's a really emerging company here in Findlay called Crow Defense. They are working on emerging technologies that are surrounded by deceit and deception and electronic warfare. When we look at the current issues that we face potentially in the Taiwan Straits, a lot of their technology is focused at that, what we are seeing in Iran actively right now. So they would be the main sponsor in coordination with Bowling Green State University building this gift.
That was the other thing kind of caught my eye, that this was being done in conjunction with BGSU. Talk about why that is and the significance of that collaboration.
So I really don't want to get off topic here because I could talk for days on this, but the universities here in Ohio, they're really seeing a pivot. So a couple of my bills that I'm sponsoring, one's going to the governor's desk right now, is the creation of the Ohio Defense and Space Commission. Again, really orienting our state to see an return on investment of our dollars when we are putting money into research institutions, but also trying to create any type of economic development. And the second is, I'm a good Baptist, but I got stuck with House Bill 666, which is the creation of the Ohio Tech Institute, which is driving tech transfer. And simply put, is I want to see our universities commercializing tech instead of just absorbing research dollars. Bowling Green was already pivoting that direction, meeting with President Rogers. The technology, they're already working up there. They have contracts with the Air Force Research Laboratory, developing items for pilots, laser technology. So when we both ran into each other and, you know, talked about these passions, it made a lot of sense. They have the capability, the capacity. And just one last piece here. I know I've been rambling a lot, but we are working with some partner forces too. So just about, I believe, 3 weeks ago, I was in Poland speaking to not just only the U.S. presence there. There was U.S. generals at this event, but also Polish companies, bringing in partner forces that are developing the leading edge of technology when we talk about drone and counter drone. And we are, it's looking very good that we could have a Polish presence in on this facility too, which again, just opens it up for, you know, that creating that ecosystem. And again, nothing is guaranteed at this point with, you know, what I'm saying with the Polish and how big potentially the Navy's presence is going to be.
But potentially benefiting not just the U.S. military, but also our allies as well. Fascinating stuff. And again, like you said, we can talk all day about this. Our time is a bit short, but it is exciting stuff. And real quickly, I've got like 30 seconds. How quickly do you expect to be able to ramp this up?
That's a great question. From, you know, my point of view in office, I wish we could start, you know, tomorrow with refurbishing or, you know, building this. But it's going to be really up to, you know, Bowling Green State University and Crow. And I think what they're really looking at is what is the actual demand right now? Is it secured manufacturing space, or is it some other type of secured research facility that they need to put on this campus?
So still some details to be worked out, but moving this idea forward of the Findlay Defense Incubator here locally in the latest capital budget signed into law last week by Governor DeWine. And again, State Representative Ty Matthews with us this morning, breaking it all down. We appreciate your time. Thanks very much.
Hey, thank you, Chris.
So, you know, car prices have skyrocketed in recent years. Both new and used cars cost a lot more than they used to just a few years ago. Now, that trend is kind of leveling off. It is plateauing, given the data that we see now from automakers and from the used car market. But even though car prices themselves show signs of leveling off, affordability remains a major hurdle for many families. While higher interest rates push monthly payments higher, out-of-pocket expenses like insurance and repair costs are also higher than expected, which just squeezes buyers even further. So what does affordable really mean? And how can buyers get the best bang for the buck? John Fitzpatrick is with us this morning. He is head of GM's Car Bravo program. John, it is often those hidden costs beyond, you know, just the sticker price that people don't think about that catch buyers off guard.
And Chris, you're absolutely right. You mentioned the insurance costs are rising. Obviously, fuel prices, energy costs are, you know, up there. And that's all impacting people's daily budget. And what we're trying to do is show them that there are options out there in terms of purchasing a vehicle. You know, you need to, you know, have a vehicle that fits your lifestyle, that, you know, fits your family, that fits what you want to do, you know, day in and day out. If it's commuting to work or going on a weekend away from, you know, somewhere at the beach or, you know, in the mountains or something like that. So you want to make sure you understand what your needs are and then look for different options. You know, at General Motors, we have, you know, a number of new vehicles that are under $30,000 MSRP, and even 10 more that are under $40,000. So there's affordable new cars out there, but there's also very much affordable used cars out there. And that's where, you know, Car Bravo comes in, helping customers connect to certified pre-owned cars that they can, you know, find out there that fits their budget and knows that the vehicle has been inspected, has been reconditioned, meets a OEM standard, and then is backed by a limited bumper-to-bumper warranty for 12 months and 12,000 miles by General Motors that allows you to go to any General Motors dealer across the country to have it serviced.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Talk about the benefits of looking at these certified pre-owned or certified used programs, because I think for a lot of folks, they look at that and they say, well, that just means it's going to be more expensive and less affordable. So explain, you know, kind of talk about the benefits, if for nothing else, peace of mind.
I would argue it's the opposite of that. It means that the vehicle is going to deliver you better peace of mind.
Yeah.
And, you know, in affordability, you want the assurance that the vehicle has been inspected, that there's no hidden damage on the vehicle, that the vehicle is meeting a set standard for us, you know, 127-point inspection. That the vehicle has been reconditioned to meet those standards, those 127 points. And with Car Bravo, we provide the customer with a Carfax report so they know, you know, the history of that vehicle, which is, you know, pretty important to almost any used car customer. And then we also provide the inspection report. So you see exactly what the technician did to the vehicle, and you get a better understanding of the value that vehicle presents.
Yeah. You know, I was reading something just the other day, and I thought this was very interesting, caught my eye, and I wanted to mention it to you and get your thoughts here, because it was a piece, and I wish I could remember where I saw it. I could credit it, but the main gist of it was, with the increasing cost of gas prices that we've seen over the past several weeks and months, that people are once again taking a look at EVs and hybrid vehicles, and there are more of these hitting the used market now. How do folks compare? How would you advise people to compare new versus used, gas versus EV, you know, throwing that extra wrinkle into it, if you will?
Yeah, you know, EV, a number of them are coming off of lease returns over the next 18 months. Mm-hmm. You know, if you think back, a couple of years ago, there was this big, you know, push for customers to purchase and lease EV models. And those that were leased are now coming back. And they're a great opportunity. You know, you're getting all the technology, all the safety. You know, the batteries are really healthy. And you can usually see different reports that will tell you about the health of the battery. And then you think about, you know, the big discounts you're getting versus, you know, new vehicles for these EVs.
Right.
And it becomes even more affordable, you know, and that's really big for the customer.
Also, how you buy. There are more ways than ever now to buy a vehicle. It's not always walking into the dealership or walking on the car lot and picking out the one that you want the way it used to be. There's so many different ways of buying a vehicle. Are there any that are more likely to save consumers money versus, you know, buying online, in person, combining the two? What actually saves people money?
Well, I think doing their homework, to be honest with you, you know, there are so many different sites out there that are available for the customers to see, you know, what the various price differences are from, you know, location to location. You know, every dealership, whether they're new car, used car, independent, you know, they all have their way that they price. And you want to get a feel for the price differential across the board. So, you know, using various tools like we have on carbravo.com that allows them to do comparisons and see what, you know, vehicles will be priced for are a big deal. And then, you know, you want to save time. You know, time is also money for a lot of consumers. And, you know, we have tools within carbravo.com, for example, that allows you to start the process, you know, from the comfort of your couch. And then, you know, either you can complete it completely online or you can go in the dealership and finish it there if you want to put your hands on the vehicle before you take delivery.
And again, just to underscore what we were saying earlier really quickly, don't discount the warranties, the service coverages, all of those things that really can make the difference between what is a decent deal, a good deal, a great deal. Make sure that you factor that in.
Definitely. You want to understand the history of the vehicle. You want to understand if you're looking at a used vehicle, you know, what was done to recondition the vehicle. And then, again, you know, in the case of CarBravo, we're providing a limited 12-month, 12,000-mile bumper-to-bumper warranty.
So
that gives you that peace of mind that if I break down, you know, I just take delivery and, you know, oh my gosh, something happened to the vehicle. Yeah. I now can take it to any GM store to get that issue addressed.
So that's not going to become another unexpected expense. Again, John Fitzpatrick is head of GM's CarBravo program, talking about navigating affordability in the used car market these days. Where do we get more information, John?
So you can visit our website, carbravo.com, and it'll give you all kinds of vehicles that are certified out there in the marketplace. Gives, you know, a lot of tools.
Good place to start your search. John Fitzpatrick, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Have a great day.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
In the news business, there are two separate and distinct groups. Breaking news and the news that is already broken. These are their stories.
Kind of a new vibe to the broken news. This one, I like it. This is the broken news. You have breaking news, and then this is the nonsense and ridiculous side that is already broken. And story number one, a woman in Fargo, North Dakota is now facing felony charges after authorities say she stole a pickup truck, forged documents to claim ownership and a fake title, and then traded it in on a new truck. She stole the pickup truck to trade it in. Or, I don't know, maybe she stole the truck and then decided it wasn't nice enough and she wanted a nicer truck, so she traded it in. Officers arrested 35-year-old Jennifer Marie Vold after she returned to the dealership and later recovered evidence tied to the scheme during a search of her residence. So either way, she's in trouble. More automotive fun. A couple in Jackson, New Jersey is suing the city because they were charged a $962 impound fee after police took their minivan to search it for drugs but found none. Yet they were still charged for the impound. Michelle and Edward Norberto argue that it amounts to unlawful search and seizure to require a storage fee for their minivan that was found to have no connection to any illegal activity. It does seem a little excessive there. I don't know how much they're seeking in the lawsuit, but they did not pay the $962 impound fee because they say it was more than their 2005 Chrysler Town and Country was worth. To add insult to injury, the impound fee was more than the vehicle was worth. And finally, in the broken news, this sounds like a lawsuit in the making. In Syracuse, New York, David Dawes was issued a $50 traffic ticket for running a red light while driving in a funeral procession. Apparently, an automatic traffic camera caught the violation, even though his vehicle had one of those funeral flags they typically put on the cars. He appealed the citation and was denied. But after the story started to get news coverage, City spokesperson Sol Munoz clarified that funeral processions are, in fact, exempt from red light camera violations, and officials will personally review the ticket. Meanwhile, the funeral home says they have changed their routes to avoid the automatic cameras in the future. Yeah, that's probably a good idea. Broken news report this morning. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
Findlay, get ready to rock for a cause. Join Flag City Honor Flight on Saturday, July 11th from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Findlay Elks Lodge 75 for the Reunion Band Concert and Dance. Enjoy a fantastic evening of live music and dancing, all while supporting Flag City Honor Flight, a local organization helping veterans visit the memorials in Washington, D.C. that honor their service and sacrifice. Come out to 900 West Melrose Avenue. Let's show our veterans how much we appreciate them.
This message provided by WFIN.
I want to get to our daily download here this morning. The numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. And I guess to pay attention to this. Pay attention very closely to this, because when I saw this particular item the other day, it struck me as incredibly heartbreaking. New research shows that nearly one-third of adults struggle to remember their last experience of genuine joy. About a third of us can't remember the last time we were truly joyful and happy. This is a survey of 2,000 adults finds 30% have difficulty prioritizing personal well-being over mostly family obligations. 31% say they put their kids first all the time. 26% prioritize their spouse or significant other. And that's good. I mean, you know, we certainly want to prioritize our kids, our loved ones. That's all well and good. But more than 11% say that they compromise their own happiness daily, while 34% say at least once a week they sacrifice their own happiness. And why do we do this? 34% worry about the cost. If we do something for ourselves, worried that we're being selfish for spending money on ourselves. 26% feel guilty about putting ourselves first. We feel guilty about this. And 23% say it just doesn't come naturally to them. However, 27% wish that they could make more childlike, spontaneous decisions just for fun, just because. And apparently, from that data, we need to do that more often. So why not do that today? Let's prioritize doing that today just because. All right? Well, I was looking at the weather forecast for the coming week. It's looking pretty good, which is exactly what we want to hear, because we've got your whole week planned. We've got the concert in the park on Wednesday, special 75th anniversary of the Findlay Civic Concert Band. That'll be accompanied by a huge community picnic as we count down to the 4th of July. We'll get to all of that. We'll tell you more about that coming up tomorrow on the program. But before we get to Wednesday and the concert in the park, we're going to take you out to the ball game on Tuesday. And Dan Merkel is with us from St. Andrew's United Methodist Church. What's more American than that? An evening at the ballpark.
Good morning, Chris. Yes, you know the old song about take me out to the ball game?
Take me out to the ball game. That's right.
Yes, yes. Well, that's exactly what St. Andrew's plans to do tomorrow night. We're going to take the whole community out to see the Findlay Sluggers as they take on the Xenia Scouts at Tuesday. 6:05 is the first pitch at the Marathon Diamonds up on North Main.
Now,
and the best part...
Well,
the best part of it is that the Admission is free. Exactly. Compliments of St. Andrews United Methodist Church.
I think that's absolutely fabulous. And, you know, the Sluggers, it's a great evening out with not a big expense to begin with. I mean, I think tickets are like $5. So, you know, it's not like it's an insanely expensive evening out anyway. But free is even better. So talk a little bit about what made you decide to put all of this together and throw this big party.
Well, it's part of the outreach that St. Andrews would like to have so that people know who we are and where we are, mm-hmm. and that we're interested in things like family events. And what's more family than taking the family to the ball game?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And lots of things going on in conjunction with the game. As a matter of fact, you're going to be leading us off in song before the game.
Well, I'm not sure that I'll be involved in that, but I can tell you that our men's group, the Good News, will be singing the national anthem.
Mm-hmm.
And during the seventh inning stretch, they're also planning on singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
There you go. There you go. And I guess you're saying that Pastor Amy is going to be throwing out the first pitch. She gets the honor of throwing out the first pitch, which seems very apropos. And then a lot of things going on before, during, and after the game to entertain the crowd as well.
Absolutely. Now, rumor has it, and I'm not sure whether there's much truth to this or not, but rumor has it that Pastor Amy has a fastball that's been clocked at about 150 miles an hour. So we'll have to see whether there's some truth to that or not. But yes, she will be throwing out the first pitch. There'll be chance for people to meet some of the players. I imagine photographs and autographs would be in order as well.
Yeah.
We'll have a table for people who are interested in finding out a little bit more about St. Andrews United Methodist Church. We're going to have some giveaways for the kids. And I understand there might also be some face painting going on as well.
There you go. There you go. 150 mile an hour fastball. We'll have to get the jugs gun out.
That's the rumor.
But face painting for the kids. I mean, the whole idea is to get the entire family out and just have a good evening. Like you said, you know, what's more American than, you know, taking in a ball game on a great summer evening? And that's what it's all about.
And when you mentioned great summer evening, like you said, I just checked the weather. They're calling for 76 degrees tomorrow evening at first pitch, so it should be a beautiful night for baseball.
So, again, this is at the Marathon Fields there at the Cube, North Main Street, the home of the Flag City Sluggers. And they've actually had a really successful start to their campaign. So hopefully they can keep things going, get on a roll and knock off Xenia on Tuesday tomorrow. Again, 6:05 is first pitch, but you'll, like we said, have things going on before the game, so come out a little early.
Absolutely. Seating seems to be limited, but I understand that there's plenty of room for people to stand and watch the game and just plan on having a good time because going to the baseball game is a good time.
Bring the entire family and the neighbors and come on out for a great evening of fun. St. Andrews United Methodist Church taking you out to the ball game. The free night of family entertainment with the Flag City Sluggers. Again, Dan Merkel is with us this morning. You've got more information on everything that's going on and lots of other things going on. St. Andrews United Methodist Church at the website, right?
Right. And coming up, I know there are plans for a block party before school starts.
Okay.
And believe it or not, before you know it, it'll be Halloween time and we'll have trunk or treat again.
There you go.
So several family activities coming up that we'd love to have people take advantage of and hope to see you at the ball game.
Absolutely. We've got a link to it on our webpage. You can go to goodmornings.net to learn more. And Dan Merkel, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having us, Chris.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program this morning. Remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage, and that is goodmornings.net. And if you're a regular listener to the podcast, we would appreciate it if you would take a moment or two to leave us a rating or review on your favorite podcasting platform. That will help others discover the show as well, and we thank you very much. Coming up tomorrow on the program, it is more than just our nation's birth certificate. The Declaration of Independence is a powerful statement about who we are and who we strive to be. Plus, everyone is invited to a community picnic this week as we celebrate America 250. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.